Flaming the station. Welcome to the station, the Babylon 5 podcast.
Hello, folks. This is Mitch.
This is Steve.
And welcome to the station. We have a special episode for you today.
Yeah. Normally, we just go episode by episode and talk about the episode and everything. But as those of you who've been following our podcast know, we have announced that we have a very special treat in connection with the episode Deathwalker. Now, we've kind of delayed airing the episode Deathwalker. It just came out, what, like last week?
Yep.
All right, so the reason that we delayed that is because we wanted to coordinate the schedule with a very, like I said, a very special treat that we have for you. Mitch and I traveled to Planet Comic Con, a convention in Kansas City, Kansas.
Right.
And we did this because Sarah Douglas, the actress from Great Britain who performed Jadur, also known to you as Deathwalker, and we have for you an exclusive interview with the great Sarah Douglas.
That's right. And among the treats you'll be able to hear are how Babylon 5 scarred her for life.
Yep.
And how because of that, there are specific roles that she can never perform again. And that's kind of sad, but
yeah, so it's a very memorable experience for us, obviously. We actually got to sit down and have a nice chat with this wonderful actress and talk to her a little bit about her work and, well,
and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Now, I do have to warn you, there is some background noise in here. It was recorded at the convention, so please forgive that. I think it's well worth it. And at the end of the interview, come back because we've got a special another treat for you, a contest to win something. Well, just go ahead and listen.
Yeah. So we arrived in Kansas City, Kansas, and the weather was not cooperating. That's putting it mildly. I mean, we had a very unseasonable snowstorm.
Yeah. As the song goes, the weather outside was very frightening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there was nothing cheerful about it, you know, no redeeming Christmas quality or anything. Anyway, the weather sucked. The trip down was an adventure, and we're not even going to get into it. Let's just say that Mitch and I really overextended ourselves to be able to bring you this exclusive interview with Sarah Douglas.
We're dedicated.
Yep, we are very dedicated, and we hope that you enjoy this. So, yeah, here is our interview with Sarah Douglas, and away we go.
I knew you'd want to sit down.
Yeah. Do you prepare your performance in any special way when you're portraying a non-human? Is there anything you do to prepare yourself to perform when you're doing an alien?
No, the only real preparation for Superman, which is my favorite non-alien, was really thanks to Terrence Stamp. He actually came up with the concept of us moving slightly differently because he felt that as aliens we should move differently from the rest. So there was a fluidity to our movement. The three of us moved together. And when I see the film now, because I am such a fidgety person and I'm always really busy and I'm all over the place, I marvel at the fact that I... Sorry about that noise. What a terrible racket. Yes, we're here live from the convention center. This just proves that I am alive. And God, that guy's never going to work again.
That was a guy?
No, I hope so. might have been a work. No, so I give him credit for that. And I look at it now. I look at Superman, and I just marvel at the fact that I actually was so still. And that's as far as that goes. As far as something like certainly Babylon 5, you know, the preparation comes in the makeup. You know, by the time you've put on all of that, the prosthetics and the procedure that goes on to get to the point where you're ready to film is where I kind of find the character. It's much easier for me to do a real... I mean, for instance, I did a film on the life of Salvador Dali, and I played his wife. And I was able to go away and read all about Gala, find out about their lives, and I actually had a sense of what I was doing. I have to say, most of the time, you'll probably discover, and things like Stargate and Babylon 5 and things, I don't actually really understand what I'm doing. which maybe it works. Maybe people think that that's what gives me that slight edge on another actress. But it's actually more to do with the fact that I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, that kind of leads into another question I had.
Yeah.
Did your work on Babylon 5 or Stargate lead you into any active interest in the story? Did it inspire you to follow what the story did?
No.
Okay.
I'm now beginning to really enjoy, my sort of, for instance, Doctor Who. I've started to enjoy that. It's very, very new to me. I in life, have done a lot of films that have certainly a sci-fi base, and I'm always slightly embarrassed by the fact that I don't really understand a lot of the time what it is I'm doing. I will have fans that come up, and particularly Stargate fans. Stargate fans know everything there is to know, and they will ask me these very intense questions, and I'm still not quite sure what the hell Garshaw was doing. I seemed to be two people, and I had a funny voice, and then I had another. And it's embarrassing. I feel like a complete sort of, you know, a phony. But I'm beginning to understand more. I'm not. It's not that I'm not a great fan. I just don't really get it half the time. I'm a simple girl, you know. I like the sound of music.
Can you identify anything in particular that there's sort of a commonality between a lot of the films and a lot of the work that I've seen you do in terms of the fantasy and science fiction? Is there something in your work that you think you can identify that makes you more compatible for that kind of role?
Yeah, I think the fact that I'm English and I speak well is, and I'm genuine, I know that I get a lot of dialogue because they feel that I know, I sound as if I know what I'm talking about. Whether it be, I know Conan the Destroyer was not science, it was more fantasy, but there's a lot of exploration and exploration. And certainly also in V. No, not in V. In Babylon 5, there's a lot of dialogue. And I do think the fact that I speak a certain way and I have a certain timbre to my voice and it sounds as if I know what I'm talking about, that I seem to get a lot of dialogue. And I'm sure that's a fact. And also, we make quite good villains, you know. I mean, we do make good villains, and I mean, go right back over the years and look at all the different villains from back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. I think that that has helped me. There is no doubt about the fact that, I mean, up to Superman, I played a nice girl who was a bit naughty on the side. I've always been a little bit naughty, but I was always the nice girl. Superman then sort of put me in that bracket, and I tried really hard for about 2 or 3 years after Superman not to play the same role again, and I didn't work in England because I was being offered the same role, of course. Now, nowadays, I think maybe we would approach things differently. Back, and I'm talking 30 years ago, you know, your body of work, you tried to do all sorts of different things. You didn't want to be identified with a particular type or a genre or a character. Nowadays, I think any of us would be, because work is so difficult to get, I think it would be great to be identified. So when I came to Hollywood and I went and did Falcon Crest and they said, you know, we're going to play Evil Wicked Queen again. Well, it's a different sort of Evil Wicked Queen. But I played the same sort of role and they capitalized on my Superman image. So the all the publicity was about, you know, the super bitch and the evil queen and the girl from Superman. And I really disliked it. And then, you know what, you start to get that little label and then it would turn up and then more and more and more. And the other thing, which is really important, is the fan base. The science fiction fans are so loyal, you know, and there is such a big fan base, sort of sci-fi fantasy. And so it's great. I mean, it's great to know. I mean, they all know that I don't know most of the time what the hell I'm talking about. Superman, Superman, let's face it, was 17 months, 8 months and 9 months, so I really got to know what I was doing and understand what I was doing. Most of the time, we kind of are in and out. I know in V, when I did the miniseries of V, I was offered the series of V. They talked to my agent about going into the series of V, but they also talked to me about doing Falcon Crest, the series, and my agents, I didn't know any better, at the time felt it was better to be in a nighttime soap. I now, having seen the longevity of V, realize I'd have been much better off being one of 4 or 5 women in V than one of 20 women in Falcon Crest. I mean, it's a different thing. V has lasted you know, albeit a limited audience.
And it's coming back.
And it's coming back, yes. I mean, it's coming back. And I still, I mean, I'm meeting, I was just in Salt Lake City where there's whole Fifth Dimension. I mean, there's a terrific number of fans out there. The only thing is that the serious fan wants to talk to me seriously about stuff. And, of course, all I do is glaze over.
Now, you talked about Doctor Who, becoming a fan of Doctor Who. You've done the audio with David Warner, Masters of War. Was that something that was recorded recently? Okay.
We recorded that last year. And funnily enough, David Warner, I've now done quite a few radio things with him, and quite a few audio things with him as well. And David, I'm from Stratford-on-Avon and Shakespeare's country, and I grew up worshipping at the feet of David Warner. I was, because he's a little bit older than me, and as a 14-year-old, he was our finest Shakespearean actor. I mean, he was a god amongst, you know, in England. He then went off to Hollywood and did Tron, I think it was, and different things, and blah, blah, years away.
And Babylon 5.
And later Babylon 5, but this is right in the 60s and 70s.
Okay.
I then did a film called Who the Hell Knows? That wasn't what it was called, but it was set in a Renaissance fair, and we were outside of San Francisco, and your listeners will probably be able to tell us who the hell it was, what it was called, and I know that Lily Hussey was in it, and David Warner was in it. And he was in doublet and hose. We were in all the old sort of kind of outfits, and I was on the set, and I said to all these boys, you know, all these kids and the crew, I said, I'm working with David Warner. And of course, at the time, they had no idea who David Warner was. And I can remember just sitting there thinking, I can't believe that I'm working with David Warner. And that was many, many moons ago. So now it's come full circle. So then I finally got to do my Doctor Who with him. And of course, I started to tell him the story about being a 13-year-old, and I realized that I was doing that terrible thing that people do to me about reminding you about how old you are, because this morning I had more guys come up to me and say, God, I loved you in Superman, I had such a crush on you, I was just a little kid, you know, and I go, oh, God, because it's... And I did the same to David Warner. I said, oh, I thought you were wonderful. I was only 13, you see, and he went... But, yeah, Doctor Who, I've more become a fan of it because so many of my friends are fans. That's been, I just suddenly thought, you know, what is this all about? My very dearest friend, very dear friend, who I'm in LA at the moment, and we're both in LA at the moment, we both have homes in London, is a director called Waris Hussain, who directed the original, very, very first episodes of Doctor Who.
Wow.
And before the Daleks. And he said to me the other day, he said, how come you go to these conventions? He said, nobody ever asks me. And I said, for God's sake, Waris, people would be fascinated. He's an older gentleman. He's not that old. Sorry, Waris. But, I mean, he did episode one. You know, episode one, two, and three, before the Daleks arrived and everything. And he's a wonderful director. So we've been discovering Doctor Who together. And, of course, David Tennant. I just saw play Hamlet at Stratford Theatre with Patrick Stewart. Now, I have to tell you, Stratford Theatre, Shakespeare is in my blood because that's where I'm from. And I live right by, my mum lives right by the theatre. My mum was a physiotherapist at Stratford Theatre from 1939 or something ridiculous. We have never had such excitement in Stratford as when David Tennant and Patrick Stewart both came to do Hamlet last night. The kids were coming out of the woodwork. The place was heaving with Doctor Who fans and Star Trek fans. And he had to, David Tennant had to have, they had to have guards, they had to have, you know, protection, he had to move houses. But what was great is these kids were going to see Hamlet. They were doing Shakespeare, and they were loving it. You know, I mean, he made it. I mean, he was brilliant. But it was great to see that, and I love that sort of crossover. I love that somebody like Tennant can bring people back to the theatre. I don't go to the theatre too often, but I was certainly brought up with a great knowledge of it, and, you know, I go to see my Shakespeare plays because that's where I'm from. But to see young kids, that, you know, who they've camped out all night long just to see David Tennant, and then actually getting it, you know, cool, great.
I think you've got a customer here.
Can you pause?
Yes, absolutely.
You should have tapped me on the shoulder.
All right, that was section one of our exclusive interview here on the station with Sarah Douglas. And yeah, she had to take a pause from the interview real quick so she could say hi to one of her loyal fans who'd come up to get a picture and get something signed. And we want to make a shout out to her website where you can go visit.
Right. It's sarah-douglas.com. And I do want to give a shout out to the promoters, the people who had paid to bring Sarah Douglas to Kansas City.
Her sponsors.
Right. And they're the ones who arranged it so that we could have this interview. That's Spuds Emporium. You can find that at spudsemporium.com and Krypton Comics in Omaha, Nebraska. Because of these two sponsors, we were able to bring this to you and the contest that you'll find out about at the end of this episode.
Yeah, so much thanks to them. Yeah, and we've gotten, obviously, so far some really, really interesting and intriguing information from Miss Douglas about her career, about her work. She was just talking about her love for Shakespearean acting, and I think it's just wonderful that she's so enthusiastic about it and that her genre work within science fiction was able to bring an audience to the genius that was Shakespearean, that is Shakespearean acting.
Absolutely.
All right. So, yeah, coming right back into it, we've got another question for Sarah, and here we go with that.
So you did heavy prosthetics in Babylon 5. Was that the first time you'd done prosthetic work?
Yes. Yes-ish. No, it couldn't. No, yes, I did do heavy prosthetics, but I had done, I had gone through the procedure for Superman, because okay. For Superman they had to make that they made the complete body mold. So I'd gone through the business of having myself wrapped and covered in all that stuff to make the mold, which of course in prosthetics you have to have a mold made. And there was another job that I had, I know, and I can't think what it was, where I needed to have prosthetics. What happened on Babylon 5, though, a lot of people don't know, is that that's where I developed my claustrophobia, because when they do prosthetics, and I'm only hesitating, because I'm trying to think of how many times I actually had prosthetics done before. You always hold the hand, you always keep contact. When your face is covered in that plaster of Paris, whatever it's called in this country, and there's that business where it sets, and you've got straws up your nose and a straw in your mouth, and there's a few seconds where you're actually, it's like being buried alive, basically.
Ooh.
And it's a very, 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 very freaky thing, and I don't even like talking about it now. But whilst I was having it done on Babylon 5, the person that was doing it let go of my hand, and the whole thing is that you need all the time, I'm here and it's fine, and it'll take 2 seconds, wait for it to set, and so you can't speak. It's like being buried alive, and I didn't recognize what had happened to me. I had my first anxiety attack, and I freaked out, you know, because it suddenly brought this on your face. They took it off. And it was months later, I got another job, and I can't remember what the job was, where I needed to have prosthetics. And they started to do the prosthetics, and I lost the plot, and I couldn't continue the job. I couldn't do it. And I then realized, and then from then on, I started to have claustrophobia, and I had to have hypnosis, and it was strictly from that moment. You need to have contact at all times. You have to have absolute faith. And they told me that they have lots of stuntmen, big, tough stuntmen, cannot go through the process. It is too freaky for them. And you can't have, I don't know why, if you've had it done once, they can't put your face on a shelf somewhere and use it again. But they don't. They do fresh ones every time.
Really?
If Babylon 5, they had come back to me and offered me a season, I don't know that I could have done it. I mean, obviously, every day they put the prosthetics on, but the business of making the mold is horrendous. It's the end of the day that takes hours, because in the morning you go and you're half asleep and they stick it all on, and you know it's not very pleasant, but you deal with it. But at the end of the day, they meticulously take it all off, A, to protect your skin, but also to preserve the actual stuff, the prosthetic-y stuff. I don't know that I could have. I mean, I know other people that came off the show because they couldn't deal with it.
Yeah. Right, like Julie Caitlin Brown.
Yeah, Julie Caitlin Brown. I mean, that was one of the things. Julie Caitlin Brown, who was my stand-in on Falcon Crest, so we.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, Babylon 5, and I got to work with her, which was lovely. Yeah, so there you go.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And that's our interview with Sarah Douglas, the first ever interview for the station.
Yeah.
I think it went really, really well.
We have to say how grateful we are. I mean, we could tell, you know, Sarah was there and she was on the clock. All right, this was something she was doing, of course, out of appreciation for her fans. But, you know, this is the way these actresses – this is just one of the very many jobs that they do. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we did in preparation for this interview, just so everyone knows – and, in fact, she sort of mentioned this while we were getting ready to do the interview, while we walked up and she was asking questions and, you know, as we were preparing for this whole process – she asked us – or she pointed out that she doesn't necessarily remember all the specifics about the characters that she did, and she doesn't remember the exact storyline. And so we were just approaching this to ask questions that she might find engaging.
That's true. But yeah, Sarah Douglas, she is amazing, and she is so personable, so approachable, and so much fun to be around. And one of the things that I love about this is she kept grabbing my hand. Every time she wanted to make a point, she would grab my hand, and it was so sweet.
Oh, yeah, very exciting.
All right. We do have a contest, and I've mentioned this a couple of times already. There is a J'adore trading card that I had personally signed by Sarah Douglas to give away as a contest. So here's how to enter. Send an email to MitchOnTheStation@gmail.com with the subject line of contest. Now, from the point that this episode airs for 1 month, we'll put all of those contest entries into a pot and then draw the name of one of those. And that person will announce on the next podcast that airs after that month. And you will get a personally autographed trading card signed by Sarah Douglas as her character of J'adore.
Yep, and I've seen this card. It's pretty cool looking, pretty authentic. Is it part of like an RPG or something like that?
Yeah, there was a Babylon 5 RPG that was out there. Well, CCG, because there's a difference. Collectible cards from a company called Decipher, I believe. And I have a lot of them. I've never actually played the game. I have no idea how you play, even though it comes with instructions. But they're like Greek to me. But they're great for getting signed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small picture of the person. And
in character, obviously.
In character, right. Yeah. It's a screenshot directly out of Babylon 5. And you can have it signed whether it's an ink pen or Sharpie or whatever, and they all look wonderful.
Yeah, it's a really good collector's item for those of you who are enthusiastic about the fan or about the actors and about the cast. And yeah, so this whole process anyway was a real treat. We are very grateful to Sarah Douglas and to her management and to Krypton Comics and Spuds Emporium for giving us the opportunity to bring you this exclusive interview with Sarah Douglas. I was really excited about it. Obviously, the walking up and getting ready to ask these questions, the little kid in my head is freaking out. I saw you in the movies. But yeah, so it was cool to be able to meet her and talk to her. And so anyway, we're obviously, again, very grateful. And we hope you enjoyed this interview. And anytime we have an opportunity to bring something like this to you, we'll obviously go to great lengths to make that happen.
Very great lengths.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And this is Steve on the station.
This is Mitch on the station.
And we're signing out. Good night.
The Station podcast was recorded and produced and edited by Jeff Fenn at Infinite Productions in 2009. The Station.